belonging to God. Do our leaders need to be worthy in order for sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, to be valid in our church? What does our belonging to God depend on? Is it the correctness of the institution of the church that in which we make our home? Is it a matter of our own personal obedience of life? This morning, we have a raw passage about what it means to belong to Christ. It is not explicitly about leadership, but about any faithful disciple. We are challenged by Paul to see beyond just making it through life, to pass over to living intentionally, purposefully, as a witness to God's presence. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate, says verse 12 in one translation. This text challenges us to think how we could become more at ease in freedom to do good and less worried about what the minimum requirements are. We don't want to think, I just want to hold on until death, where salvation is waiting. Only in times of great distress or great pain should our only prayer be for endurance until death. My husband remarks of those who make a practice of cutting corners. Those are the people who complain that life is not fair, and if things don't go their way, it's always someone else's fault. The mindset of how much can I get by with is a very unsatisfying and non-productive way to live our lives, although I'm sure we all know what that is. God's creation is for the purpose of living well here with God and others. Praying and seeking the best opens the door to an interesting and rewarding life. 1 Corinthians 6:12, not everything is good for you. So let us encourage one another to look beyond what we can get by with to what is good for us. The freedom that nobody wants is the freedom not to do evil, but the freedom to be good. Asking what is good means following guidelines, having standards, evaluating our belief, our thought, our action. The minute that we do that, we face the dangers of falling into substituting rules for living in Christ. We may set up high standards of outward behavior and try to enforce passive obedience. You do this. We may judge ourselves and others according to these rules, becoming legalistic. We may be proud that we adhere to guidelines unlike other people. Even though we have no spiritual life, we're not growing. It can lead to pettiness. In my Christian high school, the dorm mother would take a ruler and measure the length of our skirts every day before we left the dorm. That kind of petty rule keeping. Freedom is an awesome responsibility to seek all that is good. Humility and a good life arising out of faith and love for God and not following rules is what we should all aspire to. A community of faith is the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that individuals are also the body of Christ. He goes so far as to call our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Paul wrote, the temple in Jerusalem was still standing. So it's even more remarkable that he writes this way. Through long years of prayer and consecration, this chapel is something special. I love the sanctuary, worship center. We were there for Christmas Eve and Christmas and Easter, but having gone there and come back, I feel that this really is a consecrated space. because of the prayers and the love that has been here for God and one another for many years. Please think of your body as the same consecrated space that this chapel is. When considering where and how to carry your body, consider whether you would care to bring this chapel with all of us along with you into that situation. If it isn't suitable to show to us, to invite us in, then it may not be suitable for you as for you and your body either. A group of people who know they belong to God encourage one another to seek the best with their life. You think how joyful this community is when God is glorified by hopeful, loving, good living. I really have experienced that with you. How can we live in such a way that there is even more of this kind of happiness among us? Now, sexuality, it may be different from all other appetites. Corinth was a seaport with a wild reputation. But Corinth had nothing on what you and I can access through the internet. Corinth is nothing, is just doesn't even know nothing compared to what is on the internet, accessible to every 12-year-old child and every elderly person and every middle-aged person. Paul makes the point that although food and sexuality are both natural bodily appetites, sexuality has a special place in human life. The private, intense desire of the heart and body comes from a deep longing for relationship. This drive in the human heart is not something that can find fulfillment in a financial transaction. In fact, even the best and most holy of marriages cannot bear the weight of the meaning of life. The Bible is very clear that God is not a sexual being. There is no sexual identity in God. Sexuality has no place in the worship of God. As such, there is no question of seeking God through some kind of ritual for human intimacy. Scholars differ on whether Corinth may have had such people at the temples for seekers to employ, to make them think that they were accessing the divine, the presence of the deity through sexual intimacy as a prostitute. But here we do see that Paul speaks to the customers, not to the prostitutes themselves, who may have had different circumstances or be coerced or trafficked in many ways. But Paul is speaking to the person who has a choice as to what they're going to do with their body. The Bible does not explain the mystery of sexuality, but presents a world in which the strong attraction is a magnet that pulls man and woman together to form a family. Despite many competing attractions that the human heart feels, the bond between marriage partners is to be honored and the attraction continually renewed. It needs to be renewed throughout life. Proverbs 5:18 says, "Delight in the wife of your youth." If we do not know the word of God, that drive to union with one partner may be easy to mistake for erotic desire, which can be satisfied with temporary encounters. Now, this is utterly simplistic. There are many people who do not want to get married. There are many people who do not find a partner who is suitable for marriage. There are people who are not respected or are abused or abandoned by their marriage partner. There are people who have to leave their marriage for a wide variety of circumstances. Not every marriage can or does result in children. Many of the people whose stories are told in the Bible behave very badly indeed to their intimate or marriage partners. Jesus Christ himself lived fully and faithfully as a man without such a marriage partner. We must remember that when we speak of marriage. But This is the pattern that is set out for sexual relationships. Most of us are looking for love and trust in any of our attempts at intimate relationships. But for those who choose erotic fulfillment itself as a goal, it is a never-ending quest. The faces of the rich and famous, who do not hesitate to take all they desire, can assure us that they have not found satisfaction and peace and joy in their headlong search. Paul says that the Spirit of Christ within us will keep us from such a path of self-destruction and harm to others. Genesis 1:27 says that God created humans, male and female, in his image. So there is something in the cooperative union of men and women that is like the creative existence of God, although God himself is not man or woman. Matthew 22:30 says that there is no marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. So whatever male and female, whatever that is that shows of God, will be fulfilled and superseded by something better, a joyous cooperative union of God's people. Paul believed that Jesus Christ would return very soon, so Christians had only a short time to prepare themselves. As such, he recommended the celibacy that he himself practiced as an important temporary state for those who could handle such discipline. He says that sexual union touches on the very core of the image of God in us, human identity and desire for community. Let us be continually moving toward living in a way that is free, that leads to lasting joy, which is fellowship with God and other people for the glory of God. The only goal Paul knows is to live in a way that leaves him free to love and serve God and his neighbor. He knows that Christ lived in obedience to set him free. God is glorified in beauty and trust and love. Let's actively seek ways to be with others in ways that lead to God's glory. We all love this community of faith. When we are confused or in doubt, may the Holy Spirit bring Paul's word to mind. Our bodies are as holy a chapel as this community and this space. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.